Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Bebop Banter, the internet's premier anime podcast. My name is Wes, and I'm joined by my co-host Demetrius.
Wake up, samurai.
And Saeed.
I'm legitimately starving, and takoyaki can hit right about now.
very topical. But we are Bebop Banter, and it is the first day of February. So, hey, guys, we made it through the first 12th of 2023. How are we feeling?
Pretty good.
Feels like 2022, baby.
Yeah, pretty much. But it's going to be better. It's going to be better than 2022. In fact, it's about to be really nice here in a couple weeks. Because everyone, before we get into the topic of this episode, we will be at KatsuCon 2023.
Yeah, woo!
No one knows how we look, but if you are at KatsuCon and magically you hear our voices and you think it's us, definitely, stop by, give us a shout out. You might be wrong. Last time we went to a convention, Demetrius tried to call out Brett and it was the wrong dude at the airport.
Yeah, you know, it's all good. You know, we're all descendants of a common ancestor, maybe. That's potentially.
That's true.
From the primordial deep ocean.
The guy that I saw at the airport just
Father
happened
bacteria.
To look like Brett. Talk about bacteria. You know, it is what it is.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, hey, it's going to be tough to recognize anyways because KatsuCon is still requiring masks and vax card, right, Demetrius?
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. Hey, it's lots of people getting sick out there right now. Not just from this isn't just a Rona thing right now. Lots of flu going around, lots of common cold
RSV.
Going around. RSV, yeah. So hey, you know, we'll be there though. We'll be there, and that's what matters. And if you all want to be there for us, not there as in KatsuCon, but there as in, you know, part of the experience, there are two ways that you can support us. The first, I'm gonna get this right out of the way. At the beginning of the episode, the first way you can support us is by using code BBOT15 at killthecrooks.com. And Demetrius, what is the second way they can support us?
And you can also support us on Patreon. You can look us up there, BBOT Banter. And we have two different tiers that you can pick from if you want to show us some support. Lots of cool things that we're uploading now, such as old artwork and more things to come.
Yeah, who knows? There might be a giveaway or two or something. And I'm saying that myself because I'm addicted to Magic the Gathering right now and I might be accumulating too many cards. So
you know, this might be the last year, guys, that we don't have a panel. You never know.
Hey, you never know. But we do know, segue, is the topic of this episode. And before we get into the topic of this episode, this is going to be a manga episode. We are going to be talking about one manga in particular. That is Taco P's Original Sin. If you are a friend of mine, like Demetrius and Saeed are, I believe I also recommended this to our friend Amonit and Brett, who's been on the podcast before. You know, the moment I finished reading this series, I was hammering all of my friends that I knew that read manga to read Taco P's Original Sin. I liked it that much. And I think in general, everybody did enjoy it to a certain extent. But it is going to be important to note, this episode will be split into two kind of segments. I don't want to say halves because one will obviously be longer than the other. It's going to be a non-spoiler kind of overview, and then it's going to be a complete spoiler talk. I imagine that part will be the bulk of the episode. So when it comes time
series
to the spoiler talk,
only 16 chapters.
Yeah, very it's only 16 chapters. Saeed just read it this morning. Spoiler alert.
Yeah. As of the day of this recording, I got a message suggesting to read it so we can talk about it on the podcast. And I read the whole thing this morning, so it's fresh on my mind.
Mm-hmm. So when we get to the spoiler section, if you want to, you can go back, read it. It'll only take you a few hours, if that, and then come back and listen to our thoughts fresh. But it's also very important to note, and I want to put this at the forefront of this episode, even before the spoiler-free section. There is a lot of heavy stuff in this manga.
Trigger warning. Big
this
trigger
is, yeah. Yeah, like in terms of trigger warning, you're dealing with ideas of violence of pretty much every kind. Self-harm, abuse. Jeez, what else?
There's a lot.
Bad stuff.
Yeah, there's a lot. I think when we get into the spoiler section, what I appreciate so much about it is that despite all of this, it's able to end with kind of a feeling of hope and a message that I think is very pertinent to the world right now. But similar to when we talk about Berserk and we recommend Berserk in a different manner than the way things are presented in that series, Taco P's Original Sin has a lot of very heavy topics and very shocking scenery portrayed.
Very shocking.
So if you're not into it, if you're a little younger and you think that it might not be your cup of tea, or if you've experienced something like that in the past, everything that Saeed listed, Demetrius listened, I listed, just be forewarned. I think it is a worthwhile read, but there is a lot of stuff that happens. So, yeah. With that being said, go ahead.
Is if you are still interested in reading it after all of that,
good call.
You can download the Manga Plus app. I believe it's by Shueisha.
Yeah, Shueisha.
You can download that on your iPhone, iPad, or any smartphone device if you have an Android. Download it. You can read all 16 chapters for free.
And if you don't want to download,
just in general, just to read other manga too.
Yeah, if you don't want to download the app, you can just go to the Manga Plus website and read it for free. You don't have to make an account. You don't have to do any of that. Like Demetrius said, there's a lot of really good series. There's a lot of crossover with the Shonen Jump app that we've talked about before. Interestingly enough, I think the Shueisha translation team and the Jump translation team for the Jump app are different. Because things like Kaiju Number 8 and a few other series are translated sometimes weird.
Different. Yeah, very different.
But there are a lot of series on the Manga Plus app that are not present at all in the Jump library. So if you're just looking for another legit place to read, like Demetrius said, download the app or just Google Manga Plus and go to the website. It does a vertical scrolling read instead of the kind of two-page spread that you might get if you're reading on your computer through Viz or something.
The scrolling is superior.
Yeah, I do like the scrolling. I mean, I like being able to rotate my phone and see the two-page spread or, like, see the big spreads on my computer, you know? I think that's cool. But for convenience, the scroll is... Because all the images load at once, too, so, like, you don't have to click. But enough about
the superior experience. I don't know what you guys are talking about. You put it on your iPad... Turn to the side, my phone. You can see both pages. Oh, it's beautiful.
Yeah, well, see, my phone unfolds to a 7-inch tablet, and I can do that as well.
Here we go. The green text man is talking.
But, anyways, this is the start of our spoiler-free section. And seeing as someone just read this series for the first time today, Saeed, would you like to give a spoiler-free kind of synopsis of what this series is about before we get into why we think it's worth
it? At least how
it
opens up, right?
Yeah, how it opens. That's a good way to put it.
So the series is basically about this alien that comes from this place. And this alien is an octopusy-looking
thing.
Very cute. Get your mind out the gutter. Get your mind out the gutter. I didn't mean it like that. He's very cute.
Clip it.
And he means well. He's from a very happy planet. And basically, he crash lands on Earth and comes across this girl. This girl that looks disheveled, sad from my first impressions of her. And she gives him bread to eat because he's hungry. And that gesture made the octopus like the girl. And so the octopus is trying to help the girl throughout her life, basically, is the basic premise from the first chapter.
I think that's a good way to put it.
He wants to spread happiness.
Yes, he wants to make her happy because he's a little oblivious because he doesn't know the concept of sadness or anything but being happy. Mm-hmm. He comes from a planet. Never mind.
It's literally called, like, Happy Planet, right?
Yeah, it's called Happy Planet. He comes from a planet where sadness isn't a thing. So it's interesting because he's interacting with somebody who is very sad. And he misinterprets things at times. But he's trying to help and do his best to help.
Yeah. Oh, basically, and his name his name is Takopi. Takopi is the yes. the octopus. The octopus character.
The name of the Sears is original sin, which is juicy.
Mm-hmm.
So things might not be. Things might not be as they seem.
What can this happy-go-lucky octopus have a sin for?
Exactly. Yeah. Questions. Yeah.
And I think what's interesting, before I throw it to Demetrius for some spoiler-free thoughts, what's interesting to note is the author, Taizen 5, this is their first ever series. And for a first series, I was very impressed. And it's only, like Said said in the beginning, only 16 chapters. It was not axed. The author only wanted it to last that long. And it is a recent 2022 series. I think it was like March to June, something along those lines. So, very interesting first series. So I'll throw it to you, Demetrius. What are we thinking spoiler-free-wise?
Yeah, spoiler-free. I mean, it is no short order to say that it was a lot emotionally. There was a lot of good and there was a lot of bad in 16 short chapters. When I mean good and bad, I mean just concepts. Like, the concepts were crazily well, like, set up, things you would never have thought of, especially considering almost, I wouldn't say cutesy, but the contrast of how Takopi is designed versus like the backgrounds and the drawings and the art make it kind of hit harder at certain times. Overall, though, I'm very impressed with like this new mangaka Taizen 5, like you mentioned, Wes, and what stories they have to tell. The other disclaimer was, forgot to mention that there's, and on top of all the other themes, there's definitely lots of bullying. So if that's another piece, keep that in mind.
Yeah, a whole lot.
Some really gnarly stuff, but as far as enjoyment and what a story can do to tell you who these characters are and what you might have thought is great. So if I ever come across it, like physically, I know me and Wes have talked about it. Physically, if I ever came across this in the English translation, I would just buy it 2 volumes wherever I could find it.
Yeah. Another interesting thing, because you did mention the bullying, I'd be interested to hear Taizen 5's background or like life experiences. Good point. A lot of the stuff in Takopi's Original Sin feels really real or really personal. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a theme. So Takopi's Original Sin was Taizen 5's first series. But there is currently an ongoing series you might have seen in the Jump app if you use it, called the Ichinose Family's, what is it? Ichinose Family's Seven Sins or
like
something?
Deadly Sins or something.
Or Deadly Sins, yeah. Ichinose Family's Deadly Sins. That is Taizen 5's second work. And similar themes persist.
Especially when it comes to bullying.
Especially bullying, yeah. Especially the bullying. Similar themes persist. It's a little different structured of a series. It's a little slower of a series until recently, right, Demetrius?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And that's
some crazy stuff.
Yeah, and I think that crazy stuff from the Ichinose Family's Deadly Sins leads into one thing I really appreciated in Takopi's Original Sin, which is the level of different twists that happen.
Yeah. You know what reminds me? I'm going to say this. What Taizen 5 storytelling reminds me of is a little bit similar to the Abyss. What is the title of that anime called?
Made in Abyss?
Made in Abyss. That's what it is. Yeah, the combination of cutesy characters getting into like these horrific situations.
Mm-hmm.
That is kind of what it feels like. Subverted innocence.
That's a good way to put it, because not only are there really good twists, I feel like there is a development, especially in our main character, without spoiling too much. There's developments that happen that, like you described, Demetrius, subverted innocence. They make sense in the story, but it's not a journey you expect a character that looks the way our main characters look to undergo. And that kind of adds to it for me a little bit and almost adds to how real things can get. But before we wrap the spoiler section, or at least with me wrapping my part of the spoiler-free section before I pass it off to you guys, I do want to emphasize again that it ends with, if not necessarily a happy ending, it ends with a hopeful message that I feel like a lot of people don't really think about, and that while is very idealistic, is something that could be a little useful to the way that the world is nowadays. Mm-hmm. So, final thoughts from you two before we cut to the spoiler section here.
I think it's a really good read if you are exposed and have been exposed to like darker themes and just the human experience and how we all live different lives. I think, especially if you low-key study this in terms of just graphics and manga and anime, I think you will enjoy this story that Tizen 5 created and drew.
Mm-hmm.
That will change the way you think about things.
Saeed?
It's a very good short and sweet manga. One of the shortest completed manga series I think I've ever read. So if you're a manga fan in general, I'd say give it a shot because it's so short, 16 chapters. If manga readers out there, 16 chapters is nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So like everybody else said, there's good message, characters are good, writing's really well done, themes tie together very well. So I do recommend it before we go into the spoiler thing because I do have the story opens up a lot of discussion topics outside manga in general, just life in general, I guess.
Yeah,
so it'll be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So if you haven't read it, read it, come back, and listen to the spoiler half. Be interesting.
Mm-hmm. And we're not saying it's a perfect series. Keep in mind, it is Tizen 5's first series. So right, there are going to be flaws that we touch upon likely. But like Saeed said, really quick read. You're not really losing out by not reading it. So, little noise right there. Clicking down the little director's thing. This is a different scene. This is the spoiler section of our series, or of our episode on Taco P's Original Sin. And similar to the spoiler-free section, Saeed, you are the most recent person to have read this. So yes, let's get into... Because here's a behind-the-scenes spoiler. Saeed read it, and then he messaged us all that he read it, but he messaged us that he was not going to give his actual thoughts until we got to this section. So this will be our first time hearing. This will be our first time hearing Saeed's actual thoughts. And before we do, I just want to pat myself on the back because I've come a long way, I feel, in recommendations of certain things.
Oh, I agree.
Especially to Dimitri. Yeah,
I agree.
As I look at my anime shelf and see things like Ungo, feel like I actually got one for once. So Saeed, let's hear it.
So, overall thoughts, I enjoyed the series. I did not cry, which I am an easy crier, which I don't know if it was because it was early in the morning, but I did not cry.
So you weren't hydrated yet.
Maybe. Yeah, but it did remind me of Poon Poon, because I had to take...
Oh, hey, say that. I have not read
that. No, I was going to say, I haven't read Poon Poon all the way through, because I had to take a step back. Because that got kind of heavy, and this was kind of similar, because it's also heavy, and the contrast of how do you say the octopus's name?
Takopi
and Poon Poon, very similar aesthetics, I guess, in their world. So it gave me that vibe. Yeah. So my headspace went back to Poon Poon, but overall series I enjoyed. I wouldn't say it's perfect. I don't know. It was executed well. I didn't feel too much emotional attachment to characters, I guess.
It moved quick. It moved really quick.
Right.
There wasn't time to get attached.
Right. Yeah. That's probably why. But the execution of the my favorite part about it is how the theme was tied together by the end of the series. It was very well done with the hopeful note at the end. I don't know if we want to go chronologically or what.
How did it end? I think that's more important, really.
Okay. Yeah, so it ends with, if I can do this because I want to mention the cool little cover thing that we saw.
Right.
It ends with Takopi essentially sacrificing himself to go back in time one final time.
Which was kind of an ass pull in my head for a minute.
Like, which is. Yeah. It was. That is for sure.
And I was not sad about it for some reason. I was like, oh, that sucks. But I was like, okay.
Yeah, that's one of the flaws for me. Knowing it wasn't axed. If it was axed, then that would kind of make sense. But knowing this was how the author intended things to happen, I think that's the biggest criticism, is that the resolution is Takopi sacrificing himself for one final time leap. But so it ends with that. Our main character wakes up. She goes through her daily life again, getting bullied. You see, I forget what the boy's name was, but you see him. But Takopi, his essence is seemingly everywhere, right?
Yes. They have faint memories of him.
Yeah, very faint memories of lessons learned through Takopi. So it ends with our two female characters, the main character, quote-unquote, and the bully that was related to her in more ways than just being
a bully. Yeah, that was kind of wild.
That was insane. But she's bullying our main character. I'm sorry, I forget the names. And as she's beating her up...
Was it...
Something Saeed, like that.
We're going to need you to help here.
Yeah, I'm Google it real quick.
I spent
Google
so little time with quick. Them. I refer to them as, like, in my head, the
black hair girl, blonde hair girl.
Yeah. Black hair girl, blonde hair girl.
Oh my goodness, I'll rectify this.
Check it out, Demetrius. Kinda, but so as blonde hair girl is beating up black hair girl, her notebook comes out. The black haired girl's does, our main character, and there's a doodle of Takopi, and she gets bullied. She's like, "Oh, what's that drawing? That guy looks Shizuka. So goofy."
So the main girl with the black hair is Shizuka.
Okay, and that's right.
The blonde hair girl is Marina. Marina?
Yep, Marina. Yeah, I remember. So Marina is bullying Shizuka, notices Shizuka drew a Takopi and is like, "Ew, what is that?" Like, whatever. And Shizuka is like, "Oh, he looks scumball. Like... Yeah. They
And Takopi's... Shizuka is the one who gave Takopi the name Takopi, because Takopi isn't actually his name, it's his earth name.
Yeah. Yep, that's his earth name. So they kind of see the picture of Takopi that Shizuka had drawn. It leads to them both kind of making fun of the drawing, but also kind of...
crying at the same time.
Crying about emotional. It and reliving some of the events, whether or not they knew it. And it leads to them, you know, as they're talking about this drawing, it leads to them talking to each other more and learning about each other's circumstance. And it flashes forward into the future. And although we see through dialogue, or we hear through dialogue, that both of their family situations are still messed up, which we'll touch on their family situations when we go all the way back, they're both messed up. These two girls, Shizuka and Marina, that were the victim and the bully, have realized that they have more in common than what they thought through talking, which was something Takopi, as early as the first chapter, said, "Hey, why don't you just talk to try to make up with each other?" Through talking with each other, they realize they have more similarities than they might think. They have grown to become friends, and that's it. It's a message of, you know, maybe taking the time to understand other people will show that you are more similar than you are different in many respects.
True. Yeah. No, I think it was a really good ending overall for the whole story. And I think there's a lot of things to love here. I feel like we slip into criticism so easy. One of the things that's easy to love here is the art that is kind of similar to post Posca Demizu. I can't remember what the name is.
Yep.
But similar to like Promised Neverland, that's kind of what the art looks like. It is. It looks like that with more of an emotional grit that kind of reminds me of Oshimi Shuzo. So there's certain faces that you see that take a whole different meaning if you've already read the story and seen it, like seeing Shizuka happy. Like if you see her, that smug smile now, based on the events that the story beats that happen, you kind of think like, no, you're just as messed up, if not worse, than Marina. Marina, because you literally manipulated everyone around you to get what you needed to get.
And that was a wild thing for me too, story-wise. And then I'm going to chuck it back to Saeed.
Yeah, like
to bring us to the start was right, like little things of them snowballed.
Right. Neither of them were right. There's not much really, like, we don't need to go, I don't think we need to go over every story beat because everyone
just major ones.
That has been here has already read it. But chapter one, I mean, when you flip that page,
ooh,
especially when she was holding the dog, oh my gosh.
Yo, right. that transition, because there is a the dog is the early story beat. Her dog, what is his name, Chappie or something? I forget.
Chappie, yeah.
Yeah,
Chappie. You remember the dog's name. You can't remember that the girl's names. Okay,
cute dog. Hey now.
I remember. Women's History Month the guy's brother's name. The guy's. Hey. By the way, the guy's brother, what is his name? Kanye or something, was the only good person in the entire story.
That's
in
true.
In terms of equality, I forgot everyone's name. I just want you to know that. Kanye was Chappie.
Was the only morally right and righteous person in the entire story. Everybody else, morally gray.
Yeah, he was Kanye selfless, was like too. He was selfless.
He's a very, very good older brother. Very good person overall. Everybody else, kind of shitty. Including the main little group. Yeah,
it's kind of true. I mean, it's not wrong.
Except the kid, the Kanye's little brother, the third main character of this story, he fell to the simpiness, I guess.
Naoki.
He had mommy issues, and he saw his mom in Shizuka or whatever. It was it's kind of weird.
But he snapped back. It's facts. He snapped back.
But his decision making was because of a girl. His downfall.
You're like, he's a simp.
Well, also
People look for things in other people that they never got. Like it's a natural human response.
That's true. And it's in the perspective of him being the age he was, which was elementary school, I'm assuming, from where the story was taking place, it made perfect sense. It's not like it wasn't. It made 100% sense doing all that stuff for a girl that young of an age when you have mother
issues. And it wasn't even just that too. A big part of that I liked about his story was. So we have the girl who her dad has run off, and Demetrius, you actually brought up the point. I don't know if you thought about this, Saeed. What if Shizuka's dad was never actually like married to her, to the mom, right? Demetrius, you brought up that the mom could have just been like a prostitute.
She was definitely a prostitute.
Her job.
Yep.
That is her job.
Or she was one, and Shizuka was under the impression that, you know, her dad just left, but really he never even intended to be there.
He might not have even known that she was pregnant. So he got this random girl that showed up to his door saying that it's his kid, and he's like, what are you talking about?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, in that respect, the dad is
She did have memories with him, though. She had memories of looking at the stars with her father, quote-unquote father, and he left them. After the fact, that did happen.
But it brings into question, though, like how much of that is actually her just trying to cope,
the parents might not have been married, but I'm pretty sure the guy knew about her.
Maybe he was just a long-reigning like customer. It's possible.
Yeah, because our character situations for people that did just want to hear spoilers and didn't read it, Shizuka is in a family where her mom is a prostitute, an escort is what they call her, which it shouldn't have made me laugh, but we talked about this, I think, Demetrius, when she says her mom is out escorting, Taco P like pictures the mom just walking with an old lady shopping. Like, oh, she just keeps people company. It makes people happy.
That was rough.
Like, dang. So Shizuka so is innocent. In that family situation. Marina is in a situation where
her father
essentially is a customer of Shizuka's mom, and that has ruined Marina's home family experience. And then the boy is in a situation, Naoki, I think is his name or something.
Yeah, Naoki.
Yeah.
Naoki is in a situation where his older brother is naturally talented.
Man is perfect. You know, his older Let's just call him.
Yeah, he's perfect. Perfect. He's also, like Saeed said, the best moral character in the story. But he can't live up to his brother's expectations, which has led his mom to essentially give up all expectations of Naoki.
And his mother's a doctor something. Who owns a clinic. And his whole motivation was to be able to take over the family clinic by trying to beat his older brother.
Right. Yeah, and she's literally treating him like an experiment by saying, I did the same things to you both. Why can't you live up to your brother?
Yep. And I thought that was beyond just the simp thing with Naoki, him wanting to finally see a situation that he can be useful in was another part.
That was a development that came up later. For the longest time, while you're reading it, your head's like, oh, he's just that simp character that fell for the girl. But there was a layer underneath that with his relationship with his mother and not feeling accepted and finally meeting somebody who accepted him and wanted his help, wanted something from him, not trying to chase after the approval.
And I think we're also need to mention that the situation he's helping Shizuka during is the fact that Shizuka actually kills Marina.
Takopi do it.
Takopi does it. As
on
he's
behalf of Shizuka.
On behalf of Shizuka. Yeah.
He didn't mean to do it, actually. He meant to like knock her out because it was getting physical. The altercation between them was getting physical or was about to get even more physical. And he tried to, I guess, hit her to protect the person that he cares about. And it ended up killing her. Blunt force trauma to the head killed her. And they tried to hide the body, basically. And that's how Naoki got roped into the story. He walked up into the forest and saw what happened. Not saw what happened, but he saw the body.
The aftermath.
He's like, oh my God, you killed her. And then they convinced him to help them cover it up because he's so smart. He's the smartest in his class. So Shizuka's like, please help, please help. And because of the fact that she's asking him and her saying something to the effect of, you're the only person that I can trust or can help me or something, hit him emotionally to the point where he threw away his morals because he was saying, you should just tell the police what you did. You might get a lighter sentence. He threw all that away as soon as she mentioned that he's the only one that can help her. So that clicked something in his psyche that made him go along with covering up the murder.
Simp. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. You're right.
Yeah. And this is what's
really cool about this piece is that Taizan actually... He kind of wrote himself into a corner, which you guys mentioned earlier, because Takopi was using that camera to turn back time and trying to like avoid Marina for so long that he was like, there's no way to avoid her. So maybe.
Yeah, because on
we
that.
Can talk.
Yeah, because on that chapter one, Shizuka kills herself.
Yes.
Using a tool that Takopi gives her. And he realizes he doesn't quite understand bullying aspects. He comes to understand that. But because his camera lets him continue to try to cycle through different time loops.
And the way he figured out the bullying was kind of cool, too. In that,
oh, how
he used another one of... Yeah, he took one of the gadgets he has and turned himself into Shizuka to confront... what's her name?
Marina. Thinking they could just talk. Yeah.
Yeah, because his whole thing was, oh, in my planet, all we do when we have a disagreement is just talk. And then we just solve it. So he's like, he was trying to... do that for Shizuka, but then his altercation with Marina was that Marina was a bully and got physical with him, and he got very scared. And for the first time in his life, he felt not happy. He felt fear. So that's how he ended up aiding Shizuka in trying to defend Shizuka and ended up accidentally killing her. And blood got onto the device that made him be able to go back in time. So if anybody's wondering, why didn't he just go back in time again? The device broke. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And his sacrifice at the end was being able to use his life force to power it one final time.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And which we talked about the suicide or whatever at the first chapter. I think we should talk about the item itself in the suicide.
Yes.
It was a ribbon whose intended purpose, when Takabe was explaining what the ribbon was for, was to put it on a finger and put it on a friend's finger. And it's something to the effect of, no matter where you are, the ribbon will stretch and you'll always be with that one friend or something like that.
And you'll be able to understand them. You'll be able to set your differences aside.
Yeah, you'll be able to understand them and all that stuff. So he gives
If you buy the volumes, if you buy the volumes, volume one is Shizuka with the ribbon tied around her finger and it extending towards the audience in the cover. Volume two is Marina, however you want to pronounce it, also with it tied to her pinky, extending. So if it's as though they're both wearing.
We'll get to that part too, because that was a twist. Yep. But basically, Takabe gives it. This is the interaction on that scene before the suicide was throughout the entire time before. Takabe was trying to give her these items to try to make her happy because she was just sad. She tried to give her something that would make her fly and some other stuff too. But this was the first thing that she saw, and she was like, oh, I want that. And Takabe felt very good because he's like, oh, I'm finally giving her something that's making her happy. But little did he know, she took that to kill herself and her suffering.
Yep. And what a haunting panel.
Yes. Too. The reveal, the build-up to it was rough. I was like, while reading it, I was like, please save her. Please get there in time.
Please don't.
I was like, please get there in time. So you can see her about to do it and stop her. But no, he straight up walks into whatever shed or whatever
the house
she was in. And it was a beautifully drawn panel, but it was so sad.
It's
a very dark two-page spread.
Yes.
Yeah, because going all the way back to where, Saeed, you and I talked about Chappie, throughout chapter one and throughout, first arc is... Chappie, her dog, is her only source of happiness. And Takopi is like, I want to make her. The only reason for her to
be alive is that dog.
Yeah, he says, I want to make her smile the way that it is when she's with Chappie. And leading up to her suicide, you see her say, okay, see you later, Takopi, holding the dog. And the very next panel is a copy-paste of the panel of her holding the dog, only she's beat up, probably bloodied, dirty, holding his collar. And you find out later through the time loops that no matter what happens, Marina puts herself in a situation where Chappie will bite her and Chappie will get taken away. And that spirals Shizuka down to depression where she wants to kill herself.
Because, quote, Shizuka says, no matter what happens to me, no matter how much I get beat up or bullied, as long as I have Chappie, I'll be all right. Once that safety blanket is taken from her, she has nothing else to live for.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, and then she does it.
And these are children, by the way.
Yeah, this is what we say it's disturbing. How dark and grim it can be.
Mm-hmm.
Extremely.
And the kind of while dark and grim.
This, I was just gonna say, while reading this, I was just thinking, God, I hope my kids are not bullies
or get bullied or anything
like that. Like, this is so sad. All I thought about was real world situations.
Because it happens, right?
We know
because it happens.
it's rough. It
is. And I was thinking, what would I would do if my kid was the bully? I was running scenarios in my head. I was like, this is so messed up.
Mm-hmm. So essentially, Marina gets killed, and this will open up a whole other discussion for the rest of the series. She gets killed, and that's kind of the watershed moment where Shizuka, she smiles when Takopi accidentally kills Marina and says, this is... You just made me happy, essentially. Like, this, you finally did something for me that makes me happy. which leads to Taco Bee becoming really conflicted, and also leads to the snowball of events that follow. Marina's manipulation of Naoki, Taco P's impersonation of Marina.
Shizuka's.
Shizuka's manipulation of Naoki, Shizuka's manipulation of Taco P, Taco P's impersonation of Marina going to school, going to her house. And for me, that was an interesting part because up to that point, Marina had been, and I'm interested in your guys' thoughts, she had been an irredeemable character with her bullying. She kind of felt like the prototypical fictional bully, right? And normally you don't get the background, the story behind why the bully is the bully like that. But here we did, and you actually get to see, as we talked about earlier, Marina's broken home, the abuse she suffered at the hands of her mother. And I think that also played into the one of the many themes of little acts can snowball and end up affecting a lot more people. So, thoughts. Thoughts on Marina's character story and potentially the big twist with her, too.
I mean, let's be frank, right? Marina is a character that was introduced to be hated. She was hated when she was introduced because you assume that you know the whole story here. And what you quickly find out is that Marina is not really in a better situation herself. And she's taking out, basically, instead of the opposite of Shizuka, she has no safety blanket. So she just says, all right, well, I'm going to make this other little girl's life hell because mine's already like that. And she's the reason that she's broken my family. It's her fault. I can't touch her mother, but I can definitely touch her because she's in my class. So I'm going to beat her up. And I think that's a very real thing. This whole manga is incredibly real in how it's structured. And I actually ended up liking Marina's character once I knew more about her. But it took getting to that point because I was like, why am I seeing this little girl's life? I don't care. And then I started to see, like, okay, well, she's actually in a pretty effed up situation too.
And that's not excusing bullying or anything.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Oh, her mother like tries, and I think it's hinted that it still happens because in the last panel when you see them in high school, Marina has the scar. There's a scene where her mom straight up like stabs her in the face with the broken glass.
Yeah.
Whew.
Yeah.
Again, and not excusing bullying, but
the big twist leading up to it. So, because I'm trying to remember exactly how it happened, but through a sequence of events, Taco P remembers what he kept forgetting, because it's hinted throughout the whole story that he's forgetting something. Like, why can't I go back to my home planet? That's kind of weird. I don't remember what it is.
There's and a character flip on Shizuka too.
Yeah, and then you learn that the first person to actually find Taco P was Marina. And Marina was the original person that he spent his time with. He learned her family and her situation. And she said she would be happy if Shizuka didn't exist because Shizuka stole her boyfriend, I believe, and broke her family from a young age.
Yeah.
So Taco P hears all this, and again, just like he was introduced, says, I think I can make her happy if I go back in time and kill Shizuka. And that panel that he says that?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Was wild.
Chills.
He broke a rule, and his home planet said his memories are going to get erased or something like that, and that's why he forgot all the stuff with Marina.
Yeah. What was the rule? The rule was that you couldn't use a tool.
You couldn't give a tool to somebody unsupervised or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, something like that.
But the build up to that moment that flipped the story twist or whatever was that There was a sequence of events where they were waiting for summer vacation because the dog was still dead, or the whereabouts of the dog were still unknown, and they were building up to going to Tokyo to Shizuka's dad's place because she was told that the dog went back to the dad because they couldn't stay in the town because it attacked a kid. So she goes back to the dad's place, and it's kind of sad. The dad had a whole other family that she didn't know about. The dad looked at her like he didn't know who she was, and it broke Shizuka.
Yo, she kills the kids. She straight up kills the kids.
Yeah, she tries to kill the kids. Did she do it, or did she try to
kill the kids?
She did, because there's a scene where they're showing on the computer different news stories.
Oh, yeah!
And the news stories are about how her dad's family was disappearing. And you see this part, I was like, whoa. You see Shizuka...
Because she thought in their kids stomachs. Ate her dog. And she's like, oh, I have to look for the dog in their stomachs. So she asked Tteokbokki for a tool that would let her inspect their stomachs, which would kill them. Mm-hmm. But
that was wild.
She was going psycho. And at that point, I was like, oh, I can't sympathize with her. Because before that, I felt so bad for her. Her life sucked.
She was quickly becoming a monster.
Yeah, mm-hmm. She became a monster real quick.
I mean, she was...
The first sign was after Marina died.
Yeah, after Marina died, she got happy. But I was kind of like, I mean, she's a kid. That kind of makes sense, as messed up as it sounds. But her then when she started manipulating Naoki and saying, like, you're the only one who can do this. You're not going to go to jail for me?
She told him, take the fall for me. He's like, take the camera, take Yakuza the evidence, stuff. Turn yourself in for me.
I was like, hey, yo, wait a second.
And then MVP Big Bro came into the clutch. Big Bro was always there for him. He just didn't realize it. Huh?
Didn't the Big Bro take the fall?
No.
No. Nobody took the fall.
Or he talked him out of it.
Or he talked him out of it, but they handed over. I remember they were like, because the clinic closed. Something happened where the clinic closed for a day. And they're like, oh, did you hear? This kid was involved in...
The little kid, not the brother.
Thing. Yeah.
The older brother was clean. The little kid was involved because of his association. Because in his head, Naoki was like, my brother's going to find out. He had these, there was these sequences of a possibility of his brother saying, wait, you were hanging out with this girl. Did you kill her? But that didn't really happen. His brother was always supportive of him because he didn't know how much his brother actually cared about him. He always had that one person that he was looking for in his mother, in his brother.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But his twisted sense of... You know, not being that his mother had instilled in him of not being able to live up to his brother prevented him from seeing that.
That might have been my favorite scene
with his brother.
Yep,
that was probably my favorite scene in the entire series. Was that dialogue between Naoki and Kanya, his older brother, him explaining to him how not even he is perfect. He sucks at Monster Hunter. That was a quote. He's not good at the game Monster Hunter, and that his mother. It wasn't good at making pancakes at first, and she had to work on that. And that's a trait that he has similar. That's a trait Naoki has similar with his mother, is what his brother told him. He's like, you're really similar to mom in that way.
Hardworking.
Very good older brother. Good dialogue between them. And then he confessed to his older brother of the crime, I think, is how it eventually ended up. Because he was opening up as that whole scene was going on.
Yeah, that was a nice moment. And that's really the one that kind of, to what you were saying, Saeed, that's the moment that really sets Shizuka. I mean, she was already, like you said, Demetrius, over the edge. But when Naoki abandons her, that is when it turns into we're going to Tokyo, found the family, they must have eaten my dog, I'm going to kill them. And then doesn't she threaten to kill Tteokbokki too?
Yeah,
she steps on him.
She starts threatening everyone. I'm like, what are you doing?
And that's what triggers the Tteokbokki's perspective of Marina. That whole flip happens. That's what caused that. That was the transition. She was about to kill him, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Like she had something in her hand going towards Tteokbokki or something.
Yeah, she might have a knife or something. What do you have? A knife!
Nah, it was cool. Overall, I mean, it was... I think what is really good is that I couldn't really predict where it was going to go. Like, overall, through the whole story, and the characters, I could not predict what they were going to do outside of chapter one. Like, I knew something bad was going to happen to Shizuka. That was obvious. But outside of that, I could not have predicted where Naoki was going to go, his older brother, Marina, and her whole setup.
Yeah, I didn't know how the story was going to be tied together at the end, but quite literally, it was tied together at the end very well.
With the pen. With the pen and the ribbon.
With the ribbon thing ending up...
I did like that scene, because one of the tools he does go to give her is, what is it, like the Saturn cat pen or something?
Something like that.
Like some just goofy pen that makes a noise whenever you click it. And at the end, Marina and Shizuka, as high schoolers, are shopping. They're kind of making fun of each other. It's like, oh, yeah, my mom's going crazy. It's like, oh, your mom's always crazy. It's like, well, at least I have a nicer house than you. Like, you just live in a dump and all that. And then they see a pen that looks like it. They're like, hey, that kind of looks like the Saturn pen. It's like, oh, it kind of does. But because they don't fully remember Takopi, they're like, wait, what even is that? They're like, I don't know. You're the one that mentioned it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, yeah, good stuff. Good stuff. Just so many real things in the series. Again, in more ways than one, I think it shows that the actions of one person can affect so many other people.
Right. And you shouldn't judge people based on, I guess, their parents, like the sin of the father whole concept. Don't judge people based on what their parents have done or anybody related to them have done. Don't judge, I guess,
a book by its cover, basically. Yeah, don't make your perception your reality. So just because you can only see part of the story doesn't mean that's the whole story.
And Tapuki's whole thing is, yeah, try to talk to people. Try to communicate as best you can.
And I think on that too, it's important, like, you mentioned it early, Saeed, and I think some people might have missed this, if you're coming back having just finished reading it. Takopi's whole thing, like you just said, was to talk to the other person, to understand them. But all of his failures in the first few chapters of trying to get Shizuka and Marina to become friends was not because they were talking to each other, but because he was trying to do it on behalf of someone else. So I think part of the lesson is that you have to have that courage to take that step to try to understand someone. You can't have somebody else try to do it for you.
And also something very subtle, I think, is behind the theme for this manga is gaining perspective and empathy. Mm-hmm. Very big concepts. Like, Tapoki was failing at the first chapter because he couldn't gain the perspective of somebody who was bullied or feel that same type of emotion until it happened to him. Until it happened to him, then he started to relate the feeling of fear that probably Shizuka has times 10. So, empathy and gaining perspective in life and thinking about what other people might be going through, not being too judgmental off-rip type thing. Very good life lessons, I would say.
Yeah, emotional intelligence, right?
Yes.
If you're going to understand someone else, or at least try to understand what someone else is going through, you need to not only communicate, but open yourself up to understand that experience and what they might have went through. Because if you hold on to a bias or a preconceived notion of what someone has went through, then you're already not listening to like half the conversation.
Quite literally, Takopi put himself into Shizuka and Marina's shoes to understand and remember what they were going through. And I think it was a really, that's a little nail on the heady, not in a bad way, but I think it was a very smart decision to write Takopi as a completely ignorant character in the beginning, right? Because as readers, we understand, and I think it hammers home what you were saying about empathy, Demetrius. As readers, we understand concepts of bullying, concepts of fear, the more adult concepts of the way families come together and drift apart. So we don't necessarily look at it and understand how it might not make sense. But the innocence that Taco P looked at it through the lens of, you know, Shizuka saying, oh yeah, my mom's an escort, and him literally thinking she just goes around walking people around, hanging out with them, helping them do things. It was really smart to put it in perspective that way. Yeah. By giving us a character that forces you to read situations that as a reader you're familiar with in a way that makes you unfamiliar with them to a certain extent.
It like the way Taco P was written makes you strip away the bias and things you have in your head. Because when we hear escorting, we're like, okay, we know what that is. But yeah. When he hears it, he's thinking of it through this innocent lens of saying, okay, this is what she means. Which is a lesson in of its own to just ask what that means. But when you take the time to strip away whatever notion you're hearing and listen, listen. There's two different actions with those. Cause when you're listening, you are accepting information without the intent to respond. You are just accepting. When you hear things, you're listening and getting your response ready. They're two very different things.
Yeah,
at least that's what I've learned.
And I know we talked about the quote-unquote like ass pull of him at the end sacrificing himself for one final time leap.
Yeah, that moment did not hit me.
And like it didn't hit, but I find it interesting that, you know, because it is the Deus Ex Machina, something that wasn't really hinted at that you could happen throughout the series.
Right.
But it happens just to fix it. But in a way, I think, one, the series, with how it's written, to your credit, Demetrius, where you said you didn't know where it was going, it's impossible to end in a meaningful, happy, or not meaningful, but in a happy way with the way it was going. You still get the messages across if it doesn't end in the happy way, but it, you know, you're left as a reader without that sense of hope.
In a way, because the middleman's gone.
Yeah.
You don't need the middleman anymore when the two people are forced to confront the situation.
Right.
Yeah, I'm talking like without the time thing. Like if it plays out and you get to the end and that whole last part with Taco P sacrificing himself doesn't happen. Let's say he just dies and it ends on that sour note. It's a series that you see the effect of. But you actually got to what I was just about to say, where I appreciate in the end him being gone, the middleman being cut out, people being forced to interact with each other, and it shows kind of, it's an abrupt resolution. It's an abrupt way to get to the resolution, but it shows just how simple sometimes and how abrupt sometimes an act can change something around in a way.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
My thing is, if the story was long, I wish the story was a bit longer, because I kind of wanted to see Taco P going, questioning his happiness more. Questioning, or becoming more, I guess...
human?
What's the word? Human, yeah. More complex in that, thinking about him actually being sad, actually. I was kind of waiting for that moment, but it came fleeting at some moments, but he never stayed in a sad mood type thing. It would have gave more depth to his character, and having an arc where he is sad and coming back into happiness, into that sacrifice, I think would have helped.
Yeah.
Mm, right.
I see what you're saying.
Because he could have felt human. He could have died as a human, the emotions of a human. But he died at the emotions of somebody who's always happy and selfless.
Mm-hmm.
He could have had, I think you're saying, like, he could have had more emotional range.
Yes.
Because he did start to feel different things, but it was, like, he started to feel confusion, fear.
Right.
I dare say anxiety.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But I wish he was sad. Like, everyone was sad. Like, every character had, like, a sad note to them. I wish he had more of a sad note to him, to experience, reflect on a perspective of somebody who was once happy, becoming very sad. Everybody else seems like they were sad from the jump. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Trying to reach the happiness. Yeah. I wish there was like a...
It's definitely one of those stylistic choices, especially because from interviews with Tizen 5, it was only meant to be that long, right?
Right.
And I'm saying think
if
that's
it was longer,
where...
it would have been cool to see Tapuki going through.
And I think that's where the... I feel like that's where the fact of this being Tizen 5's first work kind of comes into play. And perhaps why something like Ichinose Family's Deadly Sin is taking its time a little bit more with certain things. If that makes sense.
Yeah, I could see it. And there's always a lot of pressure like on any mangaka to extend any series that's doing good.
The ending is the hardest part, too. Right. The ending is always the hardest part of every manga.
The ending was good, I will say.
It was a good ending.
Mm-hmm.
Good end.
Yeah. So, final thoughts, boys. Final thoughts as we wrap this here.
I mean, after we ranted and raved about it, I'd still say, if you're still here and you haven't read it, read it.
Yeah. Pretty much same for me. Read it. It's a good short story.
Yeah. And not only just read it, but if you read it and you are going through similar things to the characters in that, because a lot of it, like we mentioned, is really real. To the extent that it happened in the story might not be as common, maybe. But, and you might not be forced to certain expectations or being bullied to certain extents or having as complex as a family situation. But just because it's not as bad as what's portrayed in the story doesn't mean that it's okay that it's still happening. So let this be a message to seek out the help that you need, right? If you feel alone, there are different sort of resources that you can do, that you can reach out to try to get the help you need. And, you know, reach out to help somebody if you see them in need.
Yeah.
Because, like you said, Demetrius, earlier in the podcast, really real situations, not just like a real situation is called that because it does unfortunately happen. And this series just felt like it was trying to do its part to let people know it happens and to give people a way to think about how to respond to that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
And in that way, I think it's... Saeed, you said it at the beginning of the episode, a series that evokes conversation, that invites conversation of topics outside of anime and manga, with people that not necessarily read or don't necessarily read anime and manga. So very powerful. Very powerful.
And I would like to add that if you are going through anything difficult and you don't have anyone to turn to, and you listen to us, first of all, thank you for listening. And I'm glad you're here. I know Wes and Saeed are glad mm-hmm. that you're listening.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are ever in that dark place that most of us have been to, and you need help, the big number for the Suicide and Crisis Lifeline is 988. So don't ever forget that. You can always reach out and talk to someone 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That lifeline is there.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And with that, everyone, thank you all for listening. hopefully this introduced you, if not to a new series, at least to a new site to read series on legally and legitimately, being Manga Plus. Look forward to our next episode. It won't be as heavy. And look forward to, like we said last week, some KatsuCon stuff coming up. Because, oh boy, it is convention season. My name was Wes. This was Demetrius and Saeed. You guys know what to hit them with.
To be continued.
Bebop, don't stop.
Peace.